Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Absolute Truth Absolutely with your host, Giovanni. I am the leader of LWYM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida, and with me as always, Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio. It's great to share this podcast pulpit, like I always call it, and it's always thrilling to share God's Word with God's people.
Absolutely. Before we continue with the topic, please send us those questions and any references that you might have for future topics to info@lwym.org. This is made available to you on a weekly basis, so you can download these for free via our website, lwym.org, or you can also visit the iTunes store and input Absolute Truth, /absolutely, and you will find our feed via the iTunes store. Now, to continue with these series of podcasts, we'd like to talk a little bit about, hey, look at me, put me in, coach, you know, I'm ready to play. In reality, what we want to deal with is the sense in our culture and the attitude that glorifies the person beyond, I guess you could call it, humanity. And I'll tell you why I use that phrase. Because we've got celebrities, we've got professional athletes, even people that are talentless who are in the mainstream. And people use them as the center of the conversation. They are it. And these are people that I guess the rest of society aspires to be, because the culture, corporations, and whatnot, they sell them to us as these are the people that you want to aspire to be. Professional athletes, singers, bands, whatever the case may be. And now the attitude has become or has infiltrated itself into the church with speakers. It's the same attitude, but yet they give it a different shade. So we see that the same attitude has now moved into the church, and yet they're trying to hide behind the fact of, no, it's all about Jesus, guys. I've always preached about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. But these very people are bankrolling off of their popularity to make money and to grow the so-called ministry.
They're almost deified, are they not?
Yeah.
Or canonized, like some in the Catholic Church would say. It's interesting that you bring this topic to the table, because I remember the issue with Charles Barkley when he said, look, I'm not a role model. And in his generation, you tried to get out of certain circumstances in your own life, whether it be ghetto, whether it be need, poverty, whatever it is, and you made it to the pro ranks and you made your money. And all of a sudden, he was thrown into this situation that he didn't ask for. He was made out to be a role model. He said, no. And so he took some flack over this, Gio, because he refused to be the role model that people wanted to make out of him. But in a certain way, if you think about it, he was correct. He's just an athlete.
Yeah.
So society, having entered this mentality that you are describing and we are tackling today, having entered this mentality of these people that are in the forefront for whatever reason, good athletes, good singers, good musicians, for whatever reason, they're in the forefront. And society has this mindset like, wow, these are like almost gods. Yeah. We deify them. And he said, no. And then the people themselves said, how dare you say no? He was right in saying, no, I'm not a role model. I have issues. There are things in my life that absolutely do not make me the role model that you think I am. And so he stepped away from it. And then, you know, the people that wanted to deify him, if I can use that word, they went on and demonized him. I think he was correct in saying, no, I'm just an athlete. Why are you looking at me?
Well, the other thing that occurs there is that now we make these people's words infallible. And when you dare disagree with them, now they're really going to look for your neck on a silver platter, if you will. Look at the interview with Brad Pitt just a couple of weeks ago. He's contradicting himself. I don't understand, why is it that people are against homosexual marriage? And then on the same token, on the other side of his mouth, he says, I don't understand why people are getting on this case, on my case, and my girlfriend, I guess you can call, Angelina Jolie, his girlfriend, my girlfriend's case, that we're not getting married. What's the whole deal with marriage? So why are you making a big deal about homosexual marriage in the first place?
They contradict themselves when people don't pick up on this.
Exactly. But now what happens? Their words become infallible. They become set in stone, and no one can question them now. Why? Because like you just said, you hold them up on this pedestal, you glorify them, you deify them, And now everything they do and everything they say cannot be questioned.
Peter had a situation arise in his ministry where, you know, this guy was lame. He was born this way. And the power of the Holy Spirit just came over that person and healed him in a marvelous manner. And it says in the book of Acts, in the third chapter, in the 12th verse, this is after the miracle took place. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" In other words, he picked up on the fact that they were ready to exalt them and put him in a place that really doesn't belong to them. He put a stop to it immediately. I wish more ministers, more Christian singers and writers and musicians would do the same thing, because we see that slowly but surely the praise of man unto man has crept in, and men are saying, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, but they hide behind the fact that they continue to say it's all about Jesus. But in reality, like we said beforehand, and we're continuing to say, they're bankrolling off of the resources that we have in our generation. For example, the YouTube videos, the Vimeo videos, the Facebooks, the Twitters, their websites. It all centers around the personality. I mean, if this were not true, first and foremost, let's start by the very basics. Think that people wouldn't even mind to really take the time to think about. Let's look at the youthful fashion sense. These are people that never had in mind to wear jeans, sneakers, and a Mickey Mouse shirt on Sunday morning and preach to an audience. Now, almost every pastor in mainstream America, if you want to be hip, if you want to minister to the, quote, new generation, end quote, this is what you're going to dress like, because you need to appeal to a younger generation. And we see countless ministers now, countless speakers, pastors, dressing up, you know, like if they were little kids. And this is to church. That's just one end of the spectrum. Let's go to the other end.
Image and persona, I'm sorry to interrupt, Gio, definitely deals with this issue and points to the fact that maybe we are looking for star status. Yeah. We are looking for celebrity status. So I agree with you. When you see the trends, when you see the way that they look to protect their image and their persona, their personality, you know, the public personality, I have to agree with you. I think we have this particular issue that we're talking about in the forefront and needs to be tackled.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of a sudden it becomes, instead of substance, it's now become style. But that's what our generation is currently teaching. That's what our generation is currently preaching. All style over substance. So now we sit here, the people are sitting in the pews and they're listening to this guy or the woman, whatever the case may be, and they're saying, you know, this guy is really hip. He's really cool. And I dig this pastor, because that's right, he's down and dirty, whatever the case may be. You know how
he could be poisoning their souls for all they know, but he's hip.
Exactly.
He's cool.
What's the old phrase? Don't judge a book by its cover. And you can use that either way. Some people, you look at some pastors who might not dress as hip. They might not dress as cool. They like dressing very elegantly. And there are other pastors that really couldn't care for that type of dress either. They just dress casually. But yet the words they speak are directly inspired by the Word of God.
Yeah, I think you have to look behind the scenes and try to find out, try to determine if these people are really looking out for their personality and their persona. And some would jump and say, yeah, but you need to take care of your testimony. It's a different thing to guard against sin and against rebellion and the things that would bring you down and that is bring down your testimony than to protect your persona. Like the old advertisement used to say, it's all about image, baby. Yeah. No, it's not about image. It's about substance.
Yeah. Well, here's the other side of that also. This is, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is all part of a pattern of a set of guidelines that we see that they're all following. Because when you hear them speak, and when they're in conferences together, and when they do the seminars, you hear them speak about the church as a, what would I use? What word can I use to describe this? They see it like a project. It's like a pet project. Instead of seeing it as, these are the shepherds, you know, I'm the shepherd and God has given me this flock to protect their lives spiritually, they see it as something that we need to grow. We need to grow. And you hear the phrases church growth and we need to augment and increase,
yeah, and
give all of this.
Yeah, construct ministries and build ministries instead of lives, hearts, people.
I mean, one of the worst lies I've ever heard is God tells us to church plant. That's one of the worst lies you find. The last commandment that I find Jesus telling his church before he ascends to the Father is go and make disciples of all the nations. You will receive power, first and foremost, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then into the ends of the world. You're going to preach the gospel.
The argument behind some of the fashionistas that have gotten into the church is that you need to dress this way, you need to look this way, otherwise you can't reach this generation. And so what I see in that, Gio, is that we are looking towards, we're looking to use carnal weapons, weapons that we believe are useful in reaching hearts, when in reality, these are not the weapons, these are not the tools that we should be using. We should be using the spiritual tools. The Holy Spirit will bring people under conviction, and He is the anointing. He is the one that breaks the yoke, if you will. He is the one that does the work. So to lean on human tools and then excuse it away by saying, or excuse yourself for using these things by saying, otherwise I couldn't reach Him, that's ridiculous.
Well, the power of God is the power of God, regardless of how you dress, of what you say. The power of God is the power of God, and that's it. So what we're trying to say is the following. Once you start subverting, once you start depreciating the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you start alluding to human means to pick up numbers, to augment church attendance, whatever the case may be, or to grow your own stock. Because you hear people saying, I'm going to market myself. That's the big phrase nowadays.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to market myself. And then they say, well, I'm doing this in order to spread the gospel, which is a lie. At the core of this lie is fame. Fame. They just want to be recognized because they want to sell their books, because they want to, again, increase numbers. They want to increase their billfold. And we can use various examples of this. We can talk about Joel Osteen. We can talk about Mark Driscoll. We can talk about Greg Laurie. We can talk about so many different individuals. Now, some might be listening and say, whoa, Gio, you're kind of going off the deep end there by mentioning those names. These are people who are Christ-centered. Please explain to me, and I'd like for you to expound on this a little bit. Please explain to me, if this is the case, if these people are properly presenting Jesus the way that they are, why is it that these people are putting constantly seminars and conferences, and when people go to these conferences or to the churches, they're not going there to hear about Jesus. What are they going there for? They're going to listen to fill in the blank with the name of so-and-so. They don't go there to listen, to learn, to mature in their Christian walk. They're going to listen to the anointed one of God.
I think one needs to look behind the scenes to determine, or at least try to determine, what is going on behind this person and or behind this ministry. I think I can showcase what I mean by the following example. You take today's Christian music, and somehow we bought into the lie that this is ministry. This is worship. This is professional worship. These are the people that will teach us how to worship. They know how to worship. Worship is something that I can do in my backyard all by myself without a guitarist, a bass player, a drummer, a lyricist, or anybody else. But we've been sold on the idea that these people have it down, that these people are anointed for this, and furthermore, this is ministry. Look, call it what it is. It's a business. Is music, is a concert. Don't call it ministry, because the Bible doesn't call it ministry. Worship is not something that I need you to lead me in. Worship is not something that I need to pay for. Worship is something that is born in the heart by the Holy Spirit in appreciation of my Heavenly Father. It's just something that comes natural to the believer, like breathing comes natural to a newborn baby. It's ridiculous. So when we look at the things that are happening, there are key words like you were mentioning, Gio, that make us bite. And once we bite, that's it. We're hooked. And so now we call anything and everything ministry. Hey, the Bible is very clear about ministry. Ministry edifies the believer, edifies the saints. And we shouldn't go around charging these ridiculous prices to be edified, because edification comes from God, and He gives it freely to all that want it. And of course, the argument is, yeah, but if we don't charge, then, you know, we would never make ends meet. If you can't make ends meet when God calls you to something, perhaps you should be thinking, did He really call me to this?
Absolutely.
Because if He called you, He who called you will absolutely pay the tab on the deal.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Well, I'll give you a personal testimony. I remember when I was younger, one of the up-and-coming, you know what, let me rephrase that. One of the people that really got out and was probably the most well-known of all Christian singers, if you want to call it that, was Carmen. Carmen was a very well-known name, especially in the 80s and 90s. And this was a man that, yes, he knew how to put on a show, some people would say. He knew how to put on a show. He got the dancers and everything and whatnot and all of the music videos and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, I remember checking him out closely and scrutinizing him. And for him, it was always about Christ. His lyrics were Christ-centered. At the end of every concert, he would always present the gospel. And one thing that always stood out at me as a testimony of the man's life was the following. He never charged entrance to any of his concerts. And I say that, why? Because he knew and he always said, God has called us to this. And therefore, we should give freely what we by grace have been given. And you know what? He would give the testimonies. God was able to pay off anything that they had accumulated as debt. Why? Because people were giving out of the goodness of their heart because the Holy Spirit led them to give.
Absolutely.
So this is the way it works. This is the way that we're supposed to do things in Christ, not hide behind the guise of, yes, this takes a lot of money and a lot of efforts, and therefore we need to pay everyone. If you're truly trusting in God for these things, then you know what? He will supply your need. He's going to be the one that is going to cancel those debts, whatever the case may be, you know, anything that it costs. Of course, we understand. But again, this all comes from the worldly system of doing things because we try to pattern everything that we do now after the worldly system. And this is not what we're called to do. I want to address, so we can conclude this podcast, there are some people that are listening to us and they would tell us, Gio and Pastor, you guys have it absolutely wrong. We find that Jesus is fame spread throughout everywhere. It says so in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24, that his fame was going across left and right, and he was healing people, and he was preaching the gospel kingdom. And Paul also. Paul was well known in the churches and a recognized name. God allowed it so that these people would spread the gospel, to which we say,
well, it's one thing for God to raise you up and to put your name out there, and it's another thing for you to have a team of experts who are dedicated to promoting your name, to making sure that you get out into the key places, to using key people, key radio stations, key appearances here, key appearances there. So when we look at that, yes, we see that most definitely Jesus' name, it got out there. But he wasn't looking for it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he rejected and continues to reject the glory that men want to give other men. He never looked for it. He never desired it. He doesn't receive it.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Jesus the one that told various people on various occasions when a miracle was performed or healing, he said, shh, quiet, do not tell anyone. And you would think and sit there, he said, wait a minute, why wouldn't he want me to tell, you know, to tell this to other people? Simply because, like you were saying, he wasn't looking for human glory. He wasn't looking for that, and he isn't looking for that. Now, let's talk about the Apostle Paul. Because everybody says the Apostle Paul was a recognized name, and so was Peter. Going back to...
And today they would have said, Paul was a name brand.
Well, exactly. Yeah. We need to market the Apostle Paul. I can imagine it nowadays. You know, he's got his own website. He's probably got his face there. You know, but again, going back to the scripture, to prove all things by the witness of two or three. You've got Peter. You just mentioned one example. Acts chapter 3. Peter lays his hand on this individual. He says, get up. We don't have gold or silver, but get up in the name of Jesus. He gets up, the lame man that is, and everybody is looking at Peter and John and saying, whoa, check these guys out. And Peter says, ladies and gentlemen, do not think that we did this by our own power or our own merit. It's by Jesus Christ, which you crucified, and therefore Peter takes the opportunity to present the gospel. Same thing with Paul. Once he writes to the Corinthians, he says, I did not want to know anything else when I visited you guys except for who? Jesus Christ and this crucified. It was always about Jesus with these people. It wasn't about their brand name.
There are words that we throw around that we shouldn't be throwing around. One of them is love. The other one is great. And I hear the word great thrown around and used so inappropriately that it baffles the mind. For example, you will hear once and over again in the Christian circle, this guy is a great servant of God. Well, a servant is great. Great is God.
Yeah.
A servant is a servant. And so we contradict ourselves even in our sayings, and we don't catch ourselves saying some of the things that we say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible gives us the mindset as to how to think about those who are in ministry. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, I shouldn't be thinking, this is a great servant, this is a great pastor, this is a great man. Look, we respect, we love, and we appreciate godly man, godly woman, but we will not put him up in a pedestal.
Yeah.
Only God deserves glory. Only God deserves honor. If you are a musician, if you are into some industry, call it that. Don't call it ministry.
Yep.
And if human praise comes your way, make sure that you redirect that. And in today's computer lingo, we know exactly what that means. Make sure you redirect that to God and don't keep it to yourself in your heart, because you have issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want to end with this. Well, some people might say, well, you know, I've caught myself doing this. What do I do? Very simple. Again, God's solutions are very simple. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's very simple. All the focus has to be on Jesus Christ and this crucified. It's that simple. If you maintain your eyes on Jesus, your focus solely fixed on Jesus, everything else is going to fall into its place, and you will see man for what he is, simply a vessel that God uses. Because what happens? When we place our focus on man and we trust in him, like Jeremiah 17:5 prohibits, therefore he will depart from God. Why? Because we think now, oh, man is infallible. But when they commit a mistake, we've put so much of our stock and emotions on man that when they commit a mistake, now we're bound to fall too. Because man is what? He's fallible, but God isn't. So placing our eyesight on Jesus Christ.
If I'm very, very thirsty, if I'm very, very hungry, the drink that I'm served, the meal that I'm served, is what satisfies me. I don't go around saying, what great dishware. The only time people notice stuff like that, it's when they're not thirsty, they're not hungry. The important things become secondary, and they go, wow, this is great dishware. But when you're really thirsty and you're really hungry, it's about the drink,
yep.
It's about the meal. And hopefully, this mindset that is glorifying people and exalting man above even God, hopefully it will change.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for being with us once again. And we want to invite every single one of you that are listening to share these podcasts with your friends, family members, co-workers, students, whatever the case may be, so that they too may know the truth of the matter. If you have any questions, comments, or you want to reference any future topics that we might be able to deal with on the topic or speak about, please email those to us, info@lwym.org for Pastor Jesus Martinez. This is Giovanni Del Cristo saying so long, and may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.